Hi, this is Pastor Woods again up here in Sun Valley, Arizona. I'd like to talk to you today about the King of the Coyotes. Now, by coyotes, I'm not talking about the dog-like animals that run around killing sheep and you know, the kind of things that drive ranchers crazy. What I'm talking about are the crooked people, the evil people that are helping people come sneak into the borders of the United States. And charge a lot of money and are really part of the cartel. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." It was Thursday, March 5th, 2009. I came back into the church parking lot at Desert Hope Wesleyan Church, and I found 8 young Mexican men huddled together by the building that housed my office and the nursery. I went to see what was going on and what these guys were up to. The Mexican people that I'd hired to do the yard work knew why these young men were there, and they had spoken with them in Spanish. The young men could not speak English, and I could not speak Spanish, but my Mexican hirees were able to interpret for me. The young lady told me they just escaped from a house in the neighborhood where they were being held prisoner by coyotes. The coyotes were demanding $4,000 apiece for them to gain their freedom. The police had been there, and now these men were waiting for friends to come pick them up. Coyotes, you know, they promised a better life. They promised they'll take the victim's money under false pretenses and then betray that promise for ransom money. These refugees had escaped from the coyotes, and the coyotes wanted $4,000 ransom money for each one of them. According to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who was sheriff at that time, many victims have been murdered when the ransom wasn't met. It's not uncommon for a coyote to abandon his victims to die in the desert if he thinks the authorities might be aware of them. The next night, I noticed a helicopter flying around the house and later learned the police had closed down another coyote house. Seemed like there were lots or several of them in that neighborhood. You know, it all sounds a lot like Satan. Satan is the king of the coyotes. He'll promise anything that you want to hear to get you to follow him. He'll get you to invest yourself into his lies, and he will only deliver death, destruction, and heartache. He'll hold your soul for ransom, but God doesn't pay Satan ransom. He sets the soul free through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. You know, if you're being held captive today by Satan, you need to confess your sins to Jesus Christ, ask God to forgive you of your sins, and change your whole life and begin living the way God wants you to live. He will set you free. Satan is so deceitful, he will make you think he's on your side even while he is destroying you. I don't know how many times I've gone through a deliverance trying to help someone out of witchcraft, and I'd say, "How did you get in this?" They said, "Well, Satan has promised all kinds of power, all kinds of wealth, all kinds of drugs, all kinds of sex, and Satan has lied to me because he's not given any of it. He's just made me very, very miserable. He's deceitful, and he's lied to me." That's why you should stay away from the things that are questionable. Many parents have a hard time explaining to their children and teenagers why some music or movies or books, games and magazines aren't acceptable material for them to be reading, and especially they should not be bringing them into the home. It's not fit for them to see or hear. One dad came up with an original idea that's hard to refute. He listened to all the reasons his teens gave for wanting to see a particular PG-13 movie. It had their favorite actors. Everyone else was seeing it. Even church members said it was a great story. And it was only rated PG-13 after all, Dad. It is because of a little nudity and the suggestion of sex, but they never really showed it. The language was pretty good. They only used the Lord's name in vain 3 times in the whole movie. The video effects were fabulous, and the plot was action-packed. Yes, there was one scene where a building and a bunch of people got blown up, but the violence was just the normal stuff. It wasn't very bad. Even with all these explanations for the rating, Dad wouldn't give in. He didn't even give them a satisfying explanation for saying no. He just said no. Later that evening, Dad asked his teens if they'd like some brownies he'd baked. And they said yes, and he explained he'd taken the family's favorite recipe and added something new. And they asked, what was it? He calmly replied that he had added dog poop. But he said it was only a little bit, and all the other ingredients were gourmet quality. He'd taken great care to bake it at the precise temperature for the exact time he was sure that the brownies would just be superb. But even with all the explanations of the perfect attributes of the brownies, the teens wouldn't take one. The father acted surprised. Why, there was only one little element that would have caused them to act so stubbornly. He assured them they'd hardly notice it, if at all. They all held firm and wouldn't try the brownies. He then explained the movie they wanted to see was just like the brownies. You know, Satan tries to enter our minds and our homes by deceiving us into believing that just a little bit of evil won't hurt. Just a little bit of gossip. Just a little disobedience. After all, I have my rights, and I ought to be able to do some of the things I want to do that I think would bring joy and fun into my life. I mean, you know, God has so many restrictions. Why can't I have a little bit of fun for myself? Well, with the brownies, just a little bit makes all the difference between a great brownie and a totally unacceptable product. Dad explained that even though the movie people would have us believe the movies that are coming out are acceptable for adults and young people to see, they are not. Now, when this father's kids want to do something or see something that they shouldn't, he merely asked them if they'd like some of his special dog poop brownies, and they never ask about it again. Satan and his demons are masters at deceiving people into rationalizing why it's okay to go against what God wants in our lives. I remember when I was pastoring at Desert Hope Wesleyan Church that there was a family in our church. Well, she was the church organist, and she was having problems with her teenage son. He was wanting to listen to music, you know, tapes and CDs is what I'm trying to say. He was listening to these things, and they were not good for him. They were not the glory of God. So one day she went in, she took some oil, and she anointed those tapes and CDs in the name of Jesus Christ and rebuked and bound the demons. And all of a sudden, the son couldn't get the tapes to play. He couldn't figure out why. He'd put him in the machine and they wouldn't play. And it turned out to be quite an ordeal for him and quite a victory for her. You know, there are 1,000 or more varieties of mushrooms that are good to eat. The most dreaded of the poisonous mushrooms are 2 members of the Amanita group. One is the death cup and the other is the fly Amanita. The death cup grows in the woods from June until fall. Its poison acts like the venom of a rattlesnake as it separates the corpuscles in the blood from the serum. No antidote is known for the poison of this death cup. The only hope that anyone has to survive is to get his stomach pumped out promptly and get rid of that poison that's inside of him before he digests it. It's a small wonder that one variety is known as the destroying angel. The death cup has often been mistaken for the common mushroom. A person should not make this mistake if he observes carefully. The poisonous plant has white gills, white spores, and the fatal poison cup around the stem. The plant that's safe to eat has pink gills, brown spores, and no cup. Many of these mistakes come from picking it up at a button stage, for it doesn't show all these differences until it has grown larger. You know, sometimes people are just so careless that they don't take time to learn what they ought to eat or what they shouldn't. And sometimes they think, well, it's okay, you know, I'm going to just eat it anyway, and then they get in trouble. You know, that's like the problem most people have if they don't want to obey Jesus and do things His way. They think Jesus just wants to keep them from having fun and enjoying their lives. They want freedom to do their own thing and really enjoy themselves by having no restraints. I had an old gentleman in my church in Stevenson, Washington, and he was in his 80s, and he often said, I'm too old for temptation. Satan doesn't have anything he can tempt me with. Well, he'd say this as he displayed temper and bitterness and wrong judgmental attitudes. You know, one of his big things that he liked to do that just irritated people to death, Highway 14 went through Stevenson, Washington, and he would always say, well, the people are going too fast. They're driving 60 miles an hour. And so he'd take his old car and go down and drive from one part of the city limits to the next city limits, and he'd drive it at about 25 miles an hour to make people frustrated. And he just was having a great time thinking how he was bothering these people. You know, we don't get too old in this lifetime for Satan to figure out how to trap us and make us fall. And I know that the attitudes that this old man had were not to the glory of God. You know, we need to live close to Jesus, no matter how old we get. I was reading one time about how monkey trappers in North Africa have a clever method of catching monkeys. Several gourds are filled with nuts and fruit and firmly fastened to a branch of a tree. Each has a hole just large enough for the unwary monkey to stick his hand into it. When the hungry monkey discovers this, he quickly grasps a handful of nuts, but the hole is too small for him to withdraw his clenched fist, and he doesn't have enough sense to open up his hand and let go of the stuff in order to escape, so he's easily taken captive and finds himself usually in some kind of a zoo or something like that. What a picture of many Christians. The devil, with his crafty devices, tries to ensnare them. He appeals to the appetites of the flesh, which can lead to their spiritual downfall. As long as they hold on to the worldly bait, they cannot escape from Satan's trap. But he keeps on urging, don't let go. Enjoy the pleasure of your sin just a little bit longer. So, listening to the tempter's alluring voice, they continue in their evil way. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know, these are comforting words. We can open our hand and let go of the nuts. God is on our side. He will not let us fall into Satan's trap. We have to be willing to let go. Open our hand and let go of those sinful things that we find in the world. James writes, when people are tempted, they should not say, God is tempting me. Evil cannot tempt God, and God himself does not tempt anyone. But people are tempted when their own evil desire leads them away and traps them. This desire leads to sin, and sin grows and brings death. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. The desires of this world lead us to sin. Once we latch on to them, we find it hard to let go. It continues to grow until it consumes our life. In the end, this sin leads to death. Are the sins of this world preventing you from obeying God? Preventing you from being free to the Lord? If so, you have to let go. It's the only way out of the trap. The devil comes to tempt us away from the safe boundaries that God has given, set for us, as his commandments, his word, his specific area of calling for us. The devil come time after time to tempt us and capture us. However, true freedom comes only through being a servant of the Lord. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." We should recognize Satan's tactics and resist him to his face, and he will flee. James 4:7-8 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Satan, that old coyote, is out to get you, but you don't need to get got. You need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. You need to confess to him your need of a Savior. You need to allow God not only to justify you and as you repent, forgive you, but he will adopt you into the family and you will become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I want you to know the most important decision you can make is to let go of the things of the world that are holding you back from being all God wants you to be, and allow Jesus Christ to perform his miracles in your life of transforming you into a new creature, part of the family of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, with a home in heaven for all eternity. You know, these days we're watching prophecy being fulfilled. We're watching right now Russia take over the Ukraine. We're watching the fact that Russia is having a coalition with China, and they're all heading towards Israel. And I want you to know prophecy is being fulfilled. Jesus Christ is coming back, and you're going to want to be ready when he comes to go with him in the rapture. Or if you don't live that long, when you face Jesus Christ, you're going to want to be able to answer to him why he should let you into his heaven, because of the fact he is your personal Savior. Repent of your sins, let go of those things that get in your way, and ask God to be your best friend, your Lord, and your Savior. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, a lot of people are really messed up in their lives today because they're hanging on to things that they ought to let go of. You told us if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I would ask today, Lord, if there's someone listening to this podcast that still needs to confess their sins, still needs to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, that this would be the day that they'd give their lives to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I hope that you're living for the Lord today. If you want to get in touch with me, remember that my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. If you wanted to write to me, it's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Don't forget, I've got a website, and on that website are all the sermons that I've preached on this podcast ministry. And the address for the website is lowercase churchofthegalilean.com. That would be churchofthegalilean.com. And that would get you to that website. God bless you. I'll talk to you later, and I'm praying for you.